We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Hey, it's time to gather around the water cooler to talk the SNL Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's JD here, and I am back at the SNL Hall of Fame for the second time this week. Today, though, I'm walking in, wiping my feet, and I'm going downstairs to the lunchroom to hang by the water cooler with my friends Joe and Shari. Joe, how are you doing this week, my friend?
I am great. I got my water. I feel like I should have popcorn and snacks because we're going to be talking about like a great SNL filmmaker.
Nice.
You know, so Shari?
I am doing well. I got my water bottle, the real thing this time, and I'm glug, 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 glugging away. I'm ready to get chatting around the water cooler.
Nice. Well, today we're talking all about Tom Schiller. That was the focus of Monday's episode, where we were joined by Gary Seath, and it was a fascinating conversation. As I mentioned last week, I know Schiller through the Phil Hartman, Jan Hooks video, and a couple other videos, but I didn't know much about him. I didn't know the stuff about, you know, that he was instrumental in putting the show together early on. That was fascinating to me. So I'm curious if Shari wants to go in more detail and describe what happened on that episode this past Monday.
It really was, I agree, JD, a fascinating, fascinating episode. Bill was joined by vintage SNL expert Gary Seath, who knows so much, is so knowledgeable. As you can see when you listen to his podcast, the Not Ready for Primetime Project, which he does with Brad Robinson, they are both so knowledgeable. So Gary was the perfect guest to talk about Tom Schiller, who, as you said, JD, was intrinsic to the very beginnings of the show. They talk about his relationship with Lorne long before SNL, how they actually hammered out the details together.
Yeah. And then, Joshua Tree, right? Or something?
Something like that. Yeah, somewhere in California. They had met there when Lorne was working on projects. And I'm reading the Lorne biography right now. It is 8 million freaking pages long. And I'm not reading a long book. But
you have to give us a book report at the end.
If I get through it. Oh my gosh, it's long. But anyways, I'm a children's librarian, man. I'm not used to these long grown-up books. But anyways, I digress. They go into detail in the bio about Lorne's years in California and meeting Tom Schiller. And yeah, fascinating what a part he played in constructing the format of the show. He really had a huge say. And I was fascinated to know he was in a lot of sketches, apparently, not in huge parts, but he was on screen quite a bit. And even in one episode, a featured player. So they give you some nice little details, Bill and Gary. And then they break down all of, maybe not all of, but many of his pre-tapes, as well as the bulk of his sketches, including the Leonard Flint Garnell, Bad Theater, Bad Art, Bad Everything. I watched the Bad Ballet recently. Very genius. And I don't think I realized that Schiller was a writer of sketches in addition to his pre-tapes. So that was fascinating to me, too.
Me neither.
They really got into the nitty-gritty of this instrumental voice. And I really highly recommend it to anybody who has an interest in SNL, and especially in vintage SNL, because you're going to learn some things you did not know. So I say a big thank you to Mr. Bill, as usual, and to Gary, because he just blew me away with his knowledge.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
Joe, I'm wondering, as always, who in the Hall of Fame that is already there might be a comparison for Tom Schiller. There are a couple writers in there, so I wonder if you go that route or you're going to fool us and do something completely different. Let's find out.
I'll always will fool you, because, I mean, the obvious answer is Lonely Island, because, you know, they did the digital shorts, which are kind of like short films. However, I'm going to pivot and go Jim Downey, because he was a writer in the original and, you know, came back during that late 80s, early 90s renaissance, the second golden age. So that's someone that's in the Hall of Fame. And then as well, the person on the ballot is that reminds me of Schiller is Bob Odenkirk, who they both, Schiller and Bob, both Schiller, Bob. They have this talent for finding looking at a cast member, seeing their talent and showcasing them. And especially with Tom Schiller, he's able to take a single cast member and go take him out of the studio, away from the cast, and go, okay, and put a spotlight on that person and show why they're talented. And I just want to get it out of the way. My favorite 2 minutes out of the last 50 years of Saturday Night Live is the hidden camera coffee sketch. And it's just more so than Van Down by the River. This is like Chris Farley just front and center doing what he does for 90 consecutive seconds. And it, ignore the pun, but it cuts the fat off a Chris Farley sketch and says he's able to go from 0 to 60 and be cartoony and do all this stuff. And but I just want to get that out of the way, because I also want to mention how well Schiller is at doing all these sentimental sketches, short films, you know. So, because I know I already answered your question, and I'm kind of more into about him as a person. But what is great about these sentimental sketches is not only sentimental on their own. Not only if you watch them, you appreciate them for being these emotional short films. But when you got an episode where you're doing Coneheads, It's Pat, and political sketches and all these silly stuff, it's almost a joke on its own that this silly show is doing these serious pieces, you know? So it's kind of like doing it like kind of ironically, you know? And like to have a Norm Macdonald short film be dramatic and like touching, because it almost resembles a joke that Norm does where he says, you ever seen a homeless guy with a dog? The dog's probably thinking I could pretty much do this on my own.
Yep.
When I was watching that short film, I'm thinking like I was waiting for the ironic twist that like Norm would do, but instead it was touching. And that to me is what Tom Schiller does. He has all of these great comedic performers and has them do dramatic stuff. And Love is a Dream. I almost, because I wrote down Life. Anyway, Love is a Dream.
A Dream. You're right. You are right. It's Life is a Dream.
It's it is so touching. But then when you were probably watching it in the episode, it was, you know, it could have been hosted by Steve Guttenberg and they're doing all these wacky costume things. And then that one comes on and you're thinking, what was that? You know, like, so But yeah, to answer your question, Jim Downing for being there from the original and coming back during the Renaissance and bringing back that original voice with new performers. Bob Odenkirk for looking at a performer's talent and being able to single it out for a sketch. But yeah, to answer your question, man, those two.
Nice. You know, it's interesting. I think that the show is a personification of New York City. And I think that Tom Schiller is the beating heart. You know, when you get these emotional pieces, it shows that this show has heart. And, you know, its template was a variety show. It's become sketch comedy. It's become strictly sketch and video comedy at this point, but they still do throw in the dramatic piece every once in a while. And it does sort of fill you up with heart. You know, it makes your lungs expand and you feel all good. Shari, who you got?
All right. Well, I went a little more traditional. I really like Joe's outside the box thinking with that, that first, in the hall. Jim Downey was a really nice, a little out of the box. He's a writer too, but Joe made some interest. Jim, I don't even know where Jim came from. I'm sorry, people. I had a long day today. I apologize.
My brother's name is Jim. Just want to give a shout out. So maybe that's what it is.
I think it's Shari had too many toddlers today and too much sunshine. Anyways, getting back to the argument. Really good. Two good people, Joe. Two good writers that I wouldn't have thought of. But excellent, excellent choices. You did a really, really nicely thought out argument there. And I agree with both of those. However, I went two different. Well, one is a pair of writers and one is a single writer. Franken and Davis, who Schiller actually found, which
That's
I learned
right.
from Gary. He actually found them and brought them to Lorne's attention. So think about if Tom had not mentioned, I don't think Lorne would have found these two goofballs, these two young little goofballs bopping around in Hollywood. I don't know that Lorne would have come across them, but Tom knew there was something special there and he brought them to Lorne. And I think Tom knew because he related to them. I see some similarities in Franken and Davis's early work and Tom Schiller's early work. They definitely had similar sensibilities. So I can see why they would have been attracted to one another. And they just got in, just by the skin of their teeth. They were almost off
the
ballot.
66%, right?
Yeah, they got in.
They got 66.3 or something.
And it took them four times, JD, or five times.
I know.
So yay that they're in. And I hope that Tom gets in with them because they wouldn't be there if it wasn't for him. So he ought to be in too. So that's my in the hall comparison. My ballot comparison is a gentleman we talked about last season that I had the pleasure of talking about and learning about and seeing how much he did and how much he had to do with the early years of the show. I'm talking about Mr. Alan Zweibel. Just like Tom, I don't think people know much about Alan because he was so long ago. But he interviews a lot and he does a lot. So I think he's coming because of the 50th. He's been really out there talking about things. And he's such a good interview that I think people love him and are eating him up because he's so fascinating. He has all these hilarious stories. And what an incredible writer. Thomas Senna was nice enough to send me a list of his sketches that he had gotten from John. Oh, my. The depth and breadth of that man's work is unbelievable. And Schiller, similar. Gary and Bill talked about how he had so much work that they couldn't even go into it all. Like tons of things that never aired, that never made it air, that are sitting in a vault somewhere. So we need to find that Zweibel, because I bet he has stuff that never aired, and Schiller vault and have like a party, because that would be amazing. So
they
that
have
that was
a
my...
streaming platform. For heaven's sake, they could be streaming all this stuff on Peacock all the time.
Oh, that would be
people would eat it
maybe,
up.
Maybe one day. But yeah. So that's my in the ballot, my on the ballot comparison. And I hope they both get in this year. I really do. We have that unlimited buffet, people, that I keep talking about, that JD keeps talking about. Vote for these writers. Vote for these musical guests. You know, I got to stick that in too. my little sweetheart Eminem, please. So yeah, let's get some musical guests and some writers in. They really deserve to be there. They matter as much to the show as any of the cast members.
Absolutely.
Maybe even more so.
There's no show without the writers.
100%.
You know? So I don't normally participate in this, and I won't make it a habit, but the one name that I didn't hear come up from either of you, that which is where my mind went to right away, was Smigel. Because he did shorts as well. Like, he was somebody who did shorts as well.
True.
They were wildly different shorts. You know, they were outrageous and often very edgy. But nevertheless, you know, he was a writer. Mm-hmm. He was part of that second golden age. And, you know, that's where my mind goes. So, you know.
Yeah.
What do you say we go? Oh, sorry, sorry.
I was just going to say Smigel was on my short list. He would have been right after. He would have been right after the two I mentioned. He would have been my second choice for already. Because he is very similar to Schiller, a little bit later on the timeline, but certainly intrinsic to the show, just like Schiller. He had such a huge hand in developing the show that second golden season.
Yeah.
So yeah, good, really good observation, JD. Completely agree.
Well, let's go back to Gary Seath now and listen to his closing argument and hear what he has to say about Tom Schiller.
Here's my argument for Tom Schiller, Bill. I think, you know, he played a hand in the creation of this show, right? Like I said, he became friends with Lorne at a time where Lorne had already talked to Dick Ebersol and agreed to do the show. They go to Joshua Tree on a trip and start hammering out the format of the show. So he starts working for Lorne at this point. He's credited by Tom Davis for discovering Franken and Davis, because he gave their packet to Lorne and said, we really should look at these guys. So that right there is a lot. A lot to contribute to the show. But then he comes and he just, look, I'm not a huge Chevy Chase fan, but I'm going to read you a Chevy Chase quote, because this stood out to me. Chevy Chase is talking about Tom Schiller, and he says, he came up with the ideas and concepts that were far better than most of the sketches being written, and that can be itself more valuable. He rarely sat down at a typewriter and handed in pages of dialogue. And the point of Chevy's thing is, and then he goes on, blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, he goes on to talk about how Tom helped develop the samurai character, right? So the samurai is something that John had created before the show. Tom's walking down the street with Chevy Chase because they were friends for 30 weeks, as Tom says, when Chevy was on the show. And he got this idea, like, oh, we can put that samurai character in different situations and give him different professions, so we can do samurai hotelier, which, you know, that was the Richard Pryor sketch. And he helped develop the idea around samurai. And then Zweibel, I think, is the one that really ran with samurai after that. But those were the types of things that Tom Schiller brought to the show. Was he would bring an idea, and even if he wasn't the one to execute on it, Zweibel had a really good start with this concept that Schiller created. He did a series with Rosie called, started with The More Insects to Fear, or Insects, I forget exactly the wording on that one, but it became More Insects to Worry About. And again, it's like this absurdist stuff that he did. So I feel like, aside from the films that he contributed throughout the years, in those first 5 years, he really was someone that helped people up their game on their ideas and brought a different element, because that first season, especially, it's very heavy in O'Donohue's influence. And he does a sketch, you know, O'Donohue's all about death. He does a sketch on the Louise Lasser episode called Fooling Death, which is a takeoff of The Seventh Seal, the Swedish film. And it's all, the whole entire sketch is in Swedish with subtitles. And Tom Schiller plays Death, who comes for Chevy Chase and Louise Lasser, who are infatuated with one another. And they ask him to go pick up pizza. Right. And the whole tagline at the end is, so Sven and Inga fooled Death. There is no pizza in Sweden. And that's the sketch. And it's like taking this concept of death coming and making it absurd and doing that, the European sensibility that Schiller loved is something different. And I think that was really necessary at the time, because you had the writers were O'Donohue and Chevy Chase were kind of entrenched in their style. Franken and Davis were so young and green. I don't think that they really had voices yet. And Schiller was the one who was kind of, he had his own sensibilities and would bring them to light. So even if he wasn't writing a lot of sketches, like Chevy said, he was bringing a lot to the table. And I think he played a large role in SNL getting through those first five seasons and bringing quality to it.
Well, that is quite the argument, and lengthier than we normally get into, but I think that it's necessary because so few people know the depth and history behind Mr. Schiller. And once you learn that, it's almost like, yeah, he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. Shari, Joe? Joe, what do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a lot. And like you, I mean, it was, like you said, there was a lot that, you know, was a lot. But I just want to wrap, take what, because I agree with everything, you know, they said, obviously. But I just want to wrap everything up in a bow, so that we talked about so far, which is, because Shari brought up Franken and Davis, and to go off of her, what they said, what she said, and what I said, it was said that Franken and Davis are the two writers that Lorne wouldn't, if Lorne met him beforehand, he wouldn't have hired him. He hired him kind of off of the recommendation of Tom Schiller. So with me saying Tom Schiller has an eye for talent, Shari mentioning Franken and Davis, it's kind of like Schiller has an eye for talent, especially for Franken and Davis. And then, and then everything they said about his emotional and comedic short films. I mean, there's not really much I could add to it other than what I just said just now.
Nice. Well, you wrapped it up nicely. But what do you think, Shari?
I think he's a genius. I didn't know, like you, JD, I knew very little about him, but I've learned so much over the past couple years listening to all the 8,063 SNL podcasts that I listen to. I have learned so much about him, especially on the Not Ready for Primetime project. Those guys really, really go into detail. And That Week in SNL does a lot of old vintage stuff, and they really go into detail when they hit on Schiller's sketches, Schiller's pre-tapes and his sketches. And what an eye he had. And like Joe said, the way he could bring things out of comedians like Farley, like Hartman and Hooks and Gilda, and that John Belushi looking back in anger.
Oh,
how
yeah.
Weird, how prescient and strange. Tom must have some kind of third eye or something, the way he sort of did that sketch about death and Belushi being the last one to die and everybody else dying young. And of course, it was the reverse in real life. I mean, that's eerie. And that's a sketch that they just showed it on the 50th. So obviously, if they're showing this 40 some years later, obviously they're saying, wow, this Tom Schiller really knew what he was doing. So completely agree with Terry. Let's get him in. Let's get Rosie Schuster in. Let's get Zweibel in. Let's get them all in. Paul LaPelle, let's get them all in.
Yeah, I agree.
And one last thing I just want to add on, just one last little detail I want to put out there for the ether, just out into the internet world or in the world in general. I think Tom Schiller should do some type of tribute to Saturday Night Live, because if anyone could do a tribute film of any length towards Saturday Night Live, it's him, because obviously he knows how to highlight the talent that came through those. So I just want to put that out there.
I like it. Well, while we're putting things out there, SNL put something out this week. They put out their list of the next three episodes, which are the final three episodes of the season. And there's some interesting meat on that bone that Joe and Shari wanted to sort of discuss.
So why don't we do that right now? We're not going to talk about Hall of Shame moments or Hall of Fame moments. It's just going to be a little bit of riffing. Shari, what do you got for us?
I am excited about these three episodes. I'm really excited. I love Quinta de Brunson. I loved that traffic altercation one that she did with Mikey Day. It back in, was that season 49? Maybe 48. I'm bad with numbers. That was a funny one. And then, I mean, almost every sketch I like from that episode. And Quinta, I love Quinta. She's genius. She's genius. And she's done sketch comedy. So she knows how to do it. So I think she's going to be great. I don't know anything about Benson Boone. I guess I'm going
to. I don't know.
That's the beautiful thing about us now. They bring new music to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a dramatic actor. He's on The Righteous Gemstones. I guess he was on, I think it was Deadwood. He's a very dramatic actor, and he has a very intense look to him. So I'm kind of interested to see this, you know, dramatic looking man who's a dramatic actor come on like Saturday Night Live and do all these silly things. And I kind of am getting a Christopher Walken vibe from him, like just being that serious and, you know, playing off of Mikey Day, you know, in Sarah Sherman, you know, so I'm curious about that.
Are you speaking about Walton Goggins, Joe? Is that
Walton Goggins?
Yeah. Oh, did I say the...
You said Benson Boone. Sorry. I knew I didn't know the name. So either way, I was screwed.
Benson Boone is the musical guest, and I just don't know who he is. But Walton Goggins, I love, and I totally agree. No, Joe, I totally agree with you. He was in a really funny show. He can do comedy, too. He was in a really funny show called The Unicorn, where his wife died, and he's raising two girls, and he's a unicorn because he's a single guy, single man raising two girls who's not a dickhead. So the show's good, people. If you can find The Unicorn, it's excellent, very funny. So Groggins can do comedy. He's one of those character actors that everybody thinks they've seen somewhere, kind of like that sketch SNL did not long ago, like, who, they look familiar, but who are they? He's one of those. And I'm thrilled. I don't know what got him this hosting. He must be doing something big right now. But I'm excited because I really like him.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then there is lots of conversation around the water cooler about the last episode of the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys want to take off on that. Joe and I and Shari were talking in the chat earlier this week. And Joe, if you want to sort of lead this one off, you're more than welcome to.
So yeah, it's Mrs. Colin Jost, Black Widow herself, Scarlett Johansson, star of Home Alone 3. All right, here's what we were talking about in the chat earlier this week is this might be a setup for Colin Jost's last show because it's his wife and stuff like that. So maybe they'll probably do a finale thing. And if it is his last show, hopefully they'll do what is not just mine, but my parents' favorite is the joke swap and all that stuff. I mean, if it is a Colin Jost finale, that would be interesting. And, you know, to hand it off to you, Shari, I'm sure we're both looking forward to Sarah Sherman tearing him apart one last time. Just leave nothing left. You know, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure, Joe. You know I love my Sarah Jost roasts, as we all call them. she and he have such a unique... I haven't seen him vibe with one of the cast members like this since Leslie Jones, which I loved him and Leslie. Where Leslie was like his big fangirl, Sarah is his anti-fangirl. And I love their chemistry. I mean, don't get me wrong, he does well with all of the cast members that come on Update, but he had a really special thing with Leslie that I loved. And he has a really special bond with Sarah that I love. And Joe, I totally agree. If he goes out and it's looking, everybody seems to think this is going to be it. He's going to go out with a bang. I bet you they're going to bring Scarlett on there. She's going to be like Sarah's twin sister or something. They're going to do something.
She owes him a debt from the last joke swap when she had to sit there and listen to those horrible jokes about herself. She owes him a joke or two, I feel like. So you might be right. She might show up on Weekend Update as well to participate in the Joe's Roast.
That would be That would be phenomenal. I've also heard people have made comments about how Che's been dropping hints. But then a conversation I saw said, Che's been dropping hints about leaving for 5 years. He likes to screw with us. So I don't know if Che's leaving or not. I know that he's a really great stand-up, who I would love to see if he would come to Michigan. So maybe he wants to finally go and really get into the stand-up thing. It'll be interesting to see. I think we could have an hour-long discussion, which we're not an hour-long show, so we're not going to do that. But I think there's going to be a mass exodus. Many casts are going to be leaving. So we'll see.
Maybe we should do a little wager right now. I'm going to predict that 3 people leave. And I'm not going to say who, but I just think 3 people. I think 3 people will leave. What do you think, Char? You're saying mass. So you've got a bigger number in your head, I think.
I've got a giant number. I think 8 to 10 are going to leave.
Wow.
Wow.
Now that was walking.
It's going to be huge. That's what I think.
What do you think, Cheryl? What's your number?
I got 3, and I'll take it in between where I'll say names, but it's still the number 3. Chloe Fineman, she's just kind of been, she rose to the top, and now it just kind of seems like this is her, you know, just by nature or whatever. It just seems like her senior year, not by that it's a finale or anything, but just she was the featured, then she was, you know, and you know, one of the leads, and you know, and it seems like she could move on and do romantic comedies or whatever, just do main, just be the lead in a movie. Chloe Fineman, who else will I pick? Colin Jost and Mikey Day. Yeah, I saw Mikey Day in a commercial, and I was like, how much you want to bet he's, you know, asking his agent or manager or something like, hey, what else could I do? Like, not that I'm thinking about leaving, but just what are my options? And when I saw him in a commercial, it just kind of seemed like he was looking for other stuff. And so if I was to pick 3 names, it would be Colin, Mikey, and Chloe. But I mean, well, and it's about to. I was thinking about this at the beginning of the season, but yeah, it's about to.
We will have to revisit these predictions on the finale. When we tape our finale, it'll be following the end of the season. So we should know. Although that news doesn't really break until summertime, I guess. But we'll see. We'll see. We will see. Next week, we've got another barn burner for you. We've got John Schneider joining us to nominate Jimmy Fallon himself. Jim Fallon. Should be a good one. Fallon seems like somebody who's a Hall of Famer. He's definitely a Hall of Laugher, a Hall of Breaker. we can all agree on that. But I'll be interested to hear from John, and I'll be interested to hear him talk about Jimmy Fallon. So that's what we've got for you this week and next week. On behalf of Joe and Shari, I really want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Joe and Shari for gathering around the water cooler with me today. And stay thirsty, folks.
Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. To connect with Joe and Shari, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/SNLHOF. To email the cast, write to snlhofwc@gmail.com. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Duvra. Podcasts and such.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today. I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.